Well, thanks so much for joining me once again as I take you with me to a northern nation, a place currently a haven for many Iraqi refugees fleeing their homeland. Just to give you an idea of the figures regarding the people we're speaking about, according to the United Nations body which deals with refugees, UNHCR, the numbers of uprooted refugees from Iraq are estimated at 4.5 million. Well, for the record, 2 million more are currently internally displaced. What's special about this story and this northern nation I'll be taking to you in a moment is that it's the only place in Europe where an open-door policy concerning this particular group of refugees has been adopted. That's how I understood this story, as my colleague Susie Hodges mentioned it to me. But if you're interested in the full story, do stay tuned as we go over to Susie and indeed her guests, among them George Joseph, who works with refugees at Caritas Sweden, and to Hassan, one of the many Iraqi refugees who came to Sweden over the past couple of years.
It's located a long way from the Middle East, but Sweden has become the country of choice for many Iraqis trying to reach Europe. Even before the US-led invasion of Iraq in 2003, Sweden had a large Iraqi expatriate community and a tradition of taking in refugees. It also has a generous welfare system, and its people are sympathetic to the plight of the Iraqis, forced to flee the sectarian violence that is tearing their country apart. George Joseph works with refugees at Caritas Sweden, and he says because of Sweden's hospitable stance, more and more Iraqis are making their way there.
Sweden had a long tradition of giving sanctuary to the asylum seekers and the people fleeing from violence and persecution. And the issue of Iraqis, we have had a rather big community of Iraqis, especially the Chaldean Christians and the Syrian Christians in Sweden last 20 years or so. So that's one of the reasons why many of the Iraqis trying to reach Sweden, because there is also a rumor, especially when I was visiting in Syria, that I recognize they all think Sweden is the only country which gave them permit or allow them to come in Europe. So that's also a reason why very many Iraqis trying to reach Sweden.
Among the many Iraqi refugees who have come to Sweden over the past couple of years is Hussein Atso, a 24-year-old student from Baghdad. He has nothing but praise for the welcome he has received from his host country.
It was, indescribable the way they treated us over here. It was so good, so humanitarian. They make you feel that you're human again. That's how it was for me and for pretty much everybody I talk with about this. They all agree with me. It's just amazing. They take care of you. You don't feel threatened. You don't feel humiliated. You don't feel unwanted. They take care of pretty much everything for you. Everybody gets health attention. Everybody gets an education. Everybody gets a place to live. It's so good.
But to go back a bit in time, I asked Hussein what events or threats prompted him to leave his home country.
The main reason I left Iraq, just like any other Christians, is the situation in Iraq, the safety issue. Nobody is safe, even in his house. We started to have these problems. You are the unbelievers. You're all going to hell. This is the holy land. You can't stay here anymore. Some people just show it right in your face. They tell you how they feel about you.
Were you actually specifically threatened, though?
Yes, absolutely. Because it happens an incident that U.S. Army forces came to our neighborhood, and they needed somebody to speak English so they can help them with translating with somebody else in the street who needed help. So since I speak English, I just offered help, and I spoke to them. And after this, I had lots of phone calls or people in the street. We'll kill you, we'll kill your family. You're helping the unbelievers and so, all these kind of threats.
And those threats Hussein and his family received were not an isolated case. He says many other of his Christian compatriots now living in Sweden have a similar story to tell.
Every Iraqi have some horrible memory, unfortunately, in his mind. Everybody does. From a war, from terrorism acts, from dictatorship, it's always something.
Do they all feel that Christians are being especially targeted by the extremists in Iraq nowadays?
Yes, absolutely. In my neighborhood, before I leave Iraq, 4 churches had been blown up. Many of Iraqi families have been forced to leave their homes because they were Christian from many neighborhoods in Baghdad alone. I hear stories about people in Basra. They're forced to pay money every month so they can stay alive, because that's the Islamic rule. Either you pay money, they call al-jizya, or you have to be Muslim or you be killed.
After receiving those death threats, Hussein and his family fled their homeland. As he goes on to explain, Hussein had no firm or prior aim of going to Sweden when he left Iraq, but was encouraged there by smugglers.
When you try to run away for your life and you're in that much danger, you don't really think which country. You don't have this luxury of choosing where do you want to go. The first place that it's possible for us to go safe, we just go. And for me, it happened to be Sweden.
How easy was it for you to reach Sweden? And how did you make that long journey there?
Just like all other Iraqis, through smugglers, they just bring you here and, you know, charge a lot of money for it.
How much money did they charge you and your family?
It's different for me and my brothers, but for me as a person, it costs me about $14,000.
Hussein's experience is but one of countless stories recounted by the other Iraqi refugees who have reached Sweden. Joseph says nearly all of them had some dreadful story to tell.
Many other people whom we met, they say the stories are either part of their family had been murdered or killed in bomb explosions or suicide bombings, also threatened by the extremists. I mean, they were being given 24 hours either to convert to Islam or to leave the place. They all have lost somebody in the family, or they have been threatened with death and kidnapping.
So how traumatized are some of them?
Very many are very traumatized. Apart from, you know, fleeing very fast from their own home countries and arriving in Syria or in Jordan and living in appalling conditions there. Normally, most of the people arrive in Sweden with the help of the smugglers, and horrible stories, they say, like sitting in a container for 2 weeks, locked up before they arrive in Sweden. So most of the people are in a terrible state when they arrive, especially children.
And when it comes to kids, Joseph says there are dozens of unaccompanied minors who are now arriving in Sweden.
There are quite a number of unaccompanied minors arriving in Sweden, and they are taken care of by the authorities and placed in special places for the unaccompanied minors. But there is an increasing number of people arriving.
Are they often robbed or beaten or tricked whilst en route?
We haven't heard the stories of, you know, beaten or robbed, but the stories they are saying, either somebody died on the way because of the lack of oxygen and the lack of food, and some of them are left at the border between Greece and Turkey, where the area is mined, and the stories where people are trying to cross at night, part of the family have been killed in a mine explosion. Quite appalling and frightening, horrible stories about their own experiences.
But when it comes to the legal side, how easy is it for the Iraqi refugees arriving in Sweden to be granted a residence permit? Joseph says, although more generous than other European countries, not all the Iraqi refugees are granted permission to stay there.
75% have been given permit to stay, either protection reasons or humanitarian considerations.
What happens to the remaining 25%, those whose application is refused?
Yeah, they will be given a negative decision, and they are expected to leave the country voluntarily because post-deportation is not possible today. And that's one other problem. Most of them will appeal, but the problem is that the Swedish Appeal Court has made a guideline decision where they claim there are no armed conflict going on in Iraq according to the legal definition, which means that the immigration board decisions in the future will be based on this guideline decision unless the Iraqi asylum seekers can prove they are themselves personally targeted. It will be difficult for them to get a permit to stay. So those 25% who are rejected, they will be forced to leave the country, or they will be living in a legal limbo.
And are there many of these people living in a legal limbo, living illegally in Sweden?
Yes, they are. What they normally do is, since the police cannot deport them, so they will allow to stay, but they will not give them any support in order to force them to leave by themselves. So the people just live without any support of the society. So normally they turn to the churches for help.
Joseph says Caritas and other church and faith-based organizations are lobbying the Stockholm government to be less restrictive.
Yeah, we are trying to mobilize the whole Catholic Church in Sweden and especially the parishes and also other churches to do the best we can to support and help these people. Meanwhile, we will try to do everything possible politically to try to influence and to change the decision or the attitude of the government regarding that.
But despite these restrictions, Sweden still shines out as a beacon of hope to the thousands of Iraqi refugees fleeing their homeland and heading north. And this is backed up by official figures for 2006 that show that nearly half of all Iraqis who came to Europe ended up in Sweden. But how does Husan feel about the fact that, with the exception of Sweden, most other European countries have a virtual closed-door policy towards the Iraqi refugees?
I feel sorry for the Iraqi people, because Iraqi people were victims. I mean, if you can't live in your own country and there's no other country willing to take you, it's bad, I think.
So do you feel angry about it?
I feel a bit angry from countries that have no good excuse not to help Iraqis. They should help more with immigration, but I mean, I understand it's not as easy, but at least they can do is try to find a solution with other countries to open their doors to Iraqis. Iraqis are not being helped as much as they should.
So when it comes to his country's future, does Husan foresee himself returning there anytime soon?
I don't think anytime soon I'll be returning to my homeland, because it's not like a country that only needs reconstruction or need some rebuilding or some other things that time can solve it. The problem in Iraq right now is a mental problem, the way people think, the way extremists think.
So when it comes to your feelings, when you look at the situation in your homeland, how do you feel? I mean, what emotions do you feel?
I feel sad, really sad.
Well, thanks there to Susie Hodges and to her guests on this programme, George Joseph, who works with refugees at Caritas Sweden, and to Husan, one of the many Iraqi refugees who came to Sweden over the past couple of years.